Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel 6 on your TV entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs there. All our TV programs are there that can be downloaded. We also have a host of other Bible-related material that can help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come, study God's Word with us, worship Him, and let us show you the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We hope you'll take and avail yourself to any opportunity you have. We would love to have you come and see us. We've been studying for the past few weeks why I'm a member of the Church of Christ. We were trying to give you some better understanding of who we are and what we practice and what we teach and what we believe. We began a study a couple weeks ago of the subject of why I'm a member of the Church of Christ, because we believe that the Bible is all inspired. If I had to hang my hat on one point on proving the inspiration of the Bible, it would be the fulfillment of prophecy. 31% of your Bible is prophetic, and it is the highest proof of the validity of the Bible. What I would like to do today is I would just like to give you a sampling of all the prophecies concerning Jesus that are fulfilled in the Scriptures. There are a number of them, and we're going to give you the verses of the prophecy and then the fulfillment to show you that this is evidence that the Bible indeed is inspired of God. In Genesis 3:15, right after the fall, after man sinned and the consequences were passed out to man, woman, and the serpent, in the serpent's penalty, the Bible says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The subject is the seed of woman. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." You see, Satan would have a moment of victory. He would put Jesus to death. Jesus would die, but he would overcome death. And the seed of the woman just shows that man did not have a part in the birth of Christ. He wasn't born of an earthly father. His father is God. And so Mary was a virgin. And so again, it just demonstrates that God had a plan. He had it from the before time began that he was going to redeem men through his son. In Genesis 12, talking about Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the family of the earth shall be blessed." Again, that's a promise that through the seed of Abraham, that all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, we see the fulfillment of that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and the seed as of many, but as one, and your seed, who is Christ." And we know that he is a descendant of Abraham from his own genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1, when it said the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, "Then God said, No, sir, your wife shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him." That was a prophecy about the birth of Isaac. And in Genesis chapter 21, indeed, the next year, she had a son, and his name was Isaac. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of the Tumim, a descender of Jacob." We read that in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 2. In chapter number 49 of Genesis, in verse 10, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Well, where would he come from? The lawgiver would come from Judah. And we know that the Lord, that is the tribe that he came from, Hebrews 7, verse number 14. In Isaiah chapter 9, of the increase of his government, verse 7, and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order and establish it with justice and judgment from this time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There's going to be an heir to the throne of David, and he's going to rule and reign forever, and the government's going to be upon his shoulder. In Luke chapter 1, verse 32, we see fulfillment. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. This is when the child was brought to the temple, and the priest said that this is the one that was set on David's throne. We see fulfillment. We also see fulfillment of prophecy in Micah 5 and verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose going on had been told of old from everlasting. Well, that says that the one that was going to be prophesied was going to be born in Bethlehem. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judah to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. We see that the child is going to be born in Bethlehem. We see the fulfillment in Luke 2. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you call his name Emmanuel. That's Isaiah hundreds of years before the fact, saying that the Lord would send a sign by the Lord being born of a virgin. Now in Luke chapter 1, now in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel, who was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. To the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have been found favored with God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Notice, you shall call his name Jesus. Again, prophecy of the virgin birth of Christ. It happened just like Isaiah prophesied. In Jeremiah 31, verse 15, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard of Ramah, lamentations and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted by her children because they are no more." This was talking and prophesying about the slaughter of children. It happened in Matthew chapter 2. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise man, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem in all the districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time when he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because there was none." You see, the slaughter of children in the days of Herod was the fulfillment of Jeremiah 31. Hosea 11:1 says, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Well, the flight to Egypt the Lord took, and then he was told to come back. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I will call forth my son." You see, it was prophesied that Jesus would be called forth from Egypt. That is fulfilled. And then we have Malachi 3, verse 1. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, whom you seek, and suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in which you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." This is the forerunner that's going to prepare the way for the Lord. We know that's John the Baptist. Luke chapter 7. "When the messenger of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitude concerning John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? This is he of whom it was written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Again, John the Baptist was fulfillment of that prophecy in Malachi 3 and verse number 1. In Psalms chapter 2, verse 7, I declared the decree, the Lord has said to me, You are my son, today I have begotten you. That was as the exact statement said at the baptism of Christ in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 17. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, Nevertheless, the gloom will not come upon who is in distress, as when at first he's highly esteemed, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. In Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have now seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land in the shadow of death, upon them a light has shone. The Galilean ministry. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 13 through 16, we see the Galilean ministry of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 18, the Lord God would raise up a prophet like from among me, from your midst, from your own brethren, and him you shall hear. That was talking about Christ. That was fulfilled in Acts 3, verse 20, and that he may send Jesus Christ also, which preached to you before. For Moses truly said to the fathers, The Lord your God will raise up you a prophet like me from among your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. Again, the fulfillment of prophecy, that prophet was Jesus Christ. And so we see again the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And there are many, many others. We could talk about the betrayal price of 30 pieces of silver that Judas got. That was prophesied in Zechariah 11, 12, and 13, and it was fulfilled in Matthew 27, 3 through 10. He was scourged and mocked. That was prophesied by Isaiah in chapter 50, and verse 6. That comes to pass in John 19. He was suffer in silence, according to the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, prophesied, fulfilled in Mark 15. And they would part his garments at his death, prophesied in Psalms 22, 18, fulfilled in John 19, 23 through 24. You see, the Bible is given accurate prophecy. But not just prophecy, it tells us the earth was round before it was proven to be round. Read Job chapter 26, verse 7, or Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. Josephus confirms the truth concerning Christ's life. We can read from his book, the early church fathers, that he was a real person. We believe the Bible is inspired because no man can improve upon it. If this book came from the mind of God, men can't make it any better. Men can't make it any better than it already is because it came from God. And so we believe every word in it is inspired. We believe it's timeless. And we believe that it gives man everything that he needs in life and godliness. That's what Peter said. We have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. It furnishes us to every good work, as we read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 17. And so we conclude this morning by telling you, I'm a member of the Lord's church because we believe and we teach and we practice and we're taught that the Bible is God's inspired record. All of it, every word, every syllable, every teaching came from the mind of God, and it reveals what God would have us to know in order to serve Him, to please Him, and to do things in accordance with His will. Again, thank you for listening this morning. We ask you to tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue to discuss our subject, and have a blessed day.